Most of the time, we have this picture that once you become a child of God, all fights cease. So most children of God are not battle ready. They don't think that they must be ready to fight battles. They relax and think that God will fight my battles for me. Yes, the Lord will fight your battles for you, but there are fights you will have to fight them. The fact is that the moment you become a child of God, that is where true pressure starts. And until you leave this planet, you will not stop fighting. Learn to fight. Good fights. There is a contest and you must fight. You must put in effort. And he says, this fight is a good fight of faith. I pray that you never run away from the fights you are supposed to fight. You face them squarely, then you fulfill destiny in the grand style.
Now, your word in season.
Lord, we are grateful for tonight. Thank you for gathering us in your presence one more time. Let everyone under the sound of my voice, even as your word come forth, be blessed. May we receive instruction and direction for our destinies, even in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's get straight into the word of God. Last Sunday, I started to share with you on good fights that the child of God must fight. And by the Spirit, I brought to your mind the fact that we children of God sometimes are not battle ready because we think once you come into Christ, all battles have been won. All right? And there's no other battle to fight. But it's important to understand the fights that we must fight so that when you encounter certain fights, you don't relax and think it is not a fight you must fight. And you must also be able to discern fights that are not supposed to be fought so that you don't waste your resources in life. You know, life is full of many things. When I look at some people and the way they live life, and sometimes the suggestions some people can make, I realize that the level they are in life, they've not met some battles. That's why they have those mindsets. When they meet certain things, they will change the way they think. You see, in life, when you are not met quite a number of things, the way you think and the way you behave is in a different way. But the moment you start having some encounters, you realize, hey, say, and yes, I hope you are getting the point. So it's important we are battle ready. Battle ready. The fact is that you will, until you leave this earth, you'll be fighting. And if you are not well informed, you may lose fights you were supposed to win. All right? Now, Jesus, we started from John 16:33. Let's read that scripture again. Declare with me, I win all the fights I must fight. And say with me, I won't run away from the fight I must fight. Yes. And say again, I won't be a coward. I will face what I have to face. I will defeat what I have to defeat. I will walk in the victory of Christ all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Beautiful. Cowards are full of excuses. Don't be a coward. John chapter 16:33. He says, these things I have spoken unto you, that ye might have peace. He says, in me ye might have peace. So I brought to your mind that peace for the child of God is only in Christ Jesus. If you're expecting peace outside of Christ, you're expecting shalom, you're expecting erene, You know, the Greek for peace is Irene. Where we get Irene. Okay? Peace, tranquility, prosperity. He says it's only in Christ, in me, you might have peace. In the world, ye shall have what? Tribulation. And I told you, tribulation is what? A struggle, a contest, all right? Troubles, issues, contentions, okay? It's even a race. So when you look at tribulation, what should come into your mind is a fight. There will be many things that will come. It says, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So you see, in Christ, we must know how to appropriate this victory over the world. So when the battles show up, we must know, as for this fight, I must fight and win. Hallelujah. But you see, understand this. We fight from a winning position. Because see, Christ says, I have overcome the world. So anything we face that we must fight, we are fighting from a what? A winning position. Okay? So it's almost like our victory is potential. Now we must make it kinetic. I hope the small science is not bringing any confusion. Now, Paul the Apostle admonished us in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. He says, fight the good fight of faith. Fight. Then he says, lay hold on eternal life. I thought we have eternal life as children of God. Why are we supposed to now lay hold on eternal life? That means that which is yours, make sure you are holding it firmly. There must be a firm grip. Because there are many things that will try to fight you to take it away from you. I hope you are getting the point. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hold on. Lay hold on eternal life. It's a fight. So as a child of God, understand, there are fights that you have to fight. You relax. Sadly, you may lose those fights. We must fight. Paul, at the end of his life, he said, I have fought a good fight. I have fought a good fight. 2 Timothy 4:7. You see, I didn't finish reading everything because I wanted my emphasis to just be on the fight. You must see fight. He says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. There's a course that must be finished. But you see, you can be so intercepted and, I mean, your course will be so much distractions and things that you will not finish. But Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. This will be your testimony. Amen. Hallelujah. To be your testimony. So we saw the first fight that I discussed Sunday with us is that we must fight to be what? Spiritual and not carnal. See, as a child of God, the word of God says the spirit and the flesh, you see, they are at war. Then he says, there is that which the spirit wants. The flesh doesn't want it. And that which the flesh wants, the spirit doesn't want it. He says, they are at loggerheads. So every child of God must fight to be spiritual. You see, it's not automatic that you'll be spiritual. It's a fight that must be won. There are many things that are bombarding us left, right, center to derail us, to only focus on the fleshly things, okay, of life and not the spiritual things. But it's a battle that you must win. Do you know you can wake up in the morning, from morning till evening, for about 1 week, 1 year, whatever, and you can be completely carnal. No prayer, no fasting, no church, no reading of the Bible, nothing spiritual. There are people like that. The only time that anything can draw them even into church is when there's an occasion that concerns them. All right? Look, everything else is competing for our attention. We must fight to remain spiritual. Fight. I must fight to remain spiritual. And I told you, the major things that fight our spirituality, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Okay? He says, these are the things that defines the love of the world. Hallelujah. So fight. And I know you are winning that fight, huh? Never think you have won that fight, so you are going to relax. Huh? Until you meet Jesus face to face, never think you have succeeded in being spiritual. I've seen very spiritual people, people who thought they are very spiritual, fall. Have you heard this scripture before? The end is ojina hono. Exactly. So you see, take heed lest you fall. So spirituality is something that you must always fight to keep. I see very spiritual people here. 15 years from now, 10 years from now, will you be spiritual? 5 years from now. Sometimes when you look at people and they said, I was a worship leader in church. They are on an interview set and they are now deeply into the world and they are asking them, where did you start? And they say, I started in church. You wonder, then where did this one then come from? I tell you. And amazingly, even the American rappers and all those guys, you'll be surprised. You are interviewing Usher. I know them. You are interviewing Usher, and Usher says, I was a chorister. So where did the twist come? You realize that spirituality was downplayed. They thought it is automatic. And sometimes even when you are born in church, when you are always in church, you think I will be spiritual forever. It's a fight. It's a fight. Sometimes, is it not amazing? A pastor who was on fire for the Lord, by the time they said he's a homosexual, say, what happened? Spirituality was compromised because they didn't think it's a fight they must fight for life. Never ever lose sight on this fight. You know, as we continue in this world, as you continue in your various careers and your various things that you do, you meet different kinds of people. And if you are not conscious of this fight, by the time you realize, you have been neutralized. Your spirituality has been what? Neutralized. Now, when they want somebody to steal at the office, you are the first person they will contact. Am I communicating?
Yes.
Yeah. But at first, when you got to the office, everybody had great respect for you that you were very spiritual and you don't play with things of God. But now, when they are looking for who to consult to twist things, we look for you. And please don't, let me stay on this point a bit. Don't mistake religion for spirituality. Most Africans are religious, not spiritual necessarily, in the sense of tilted towards the Spirit of God. So you see, it is their religious duty to be in church. But when you test their spirituality, you realize that they fall short. Does it make sense? Hallelujah. And now it is even more dangerous. Now you see that it's very serious. You even have priests who have been pastors for a long time, building even church buildings and selling it. And by the time they were selling it, a fetish priest who was in practice bought the church building. Do you understand? Getting ready for a church business. You see, so now, and the prophet, after a long period of time, felt that he needed money, so sold the church building to the practicing fetish priest who had not yet changed. Then the practicing fetish priest prophesied her change. Very wonderful, interesting things in a part of the world. What am I talking about? You can have a lot of practicing religion, but when you go deep, you realize that spirituality where there's a connection with God is very small. So I pray for you. Fight to stay spiritual. Amen. Then, fight number two. Fight to respond to the call of God on your life. And I told you on Sunday, everybody that is saved is called. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 9. 20 years from now, may you still be spiritual.
Yeah.
Deeply connected to Christ. 2 Timothy 1 9. Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling? He saved us and called us. He saved us and called us. When you are not maturing in Christ, you only think some people are called and you are not called. When you start maturing in Christ, you'll come to the understanding that everybody that is saved is called. And there's a calling on your life that you must fulfill. And the reason why it's a fight that you must fight and win is, you may be completely swallowed up in all the pursuits of this world and never respond to the calling of God as a child of God. That is why it's important. This is brought to our minds. It's a fight we must fight. Else, you'll become the accountant. You'll become the whatever. You'll become whatever ambition that is in your heart to become. You'll become it. But you never respond to the call of God. Because probably it was never brought to your mind. But you have no excuse. I told you. And you cannot go and tell Jesus that you didn't understand the English I was speaking. It's not true because you understood it. Hallelujah. So he says, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. His own, according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Before the world began. So you have a holy calling. That means you have been set apart for a special use. To become a great economist is wonderful. But it is only a means to an end. The end is your calling in Christ Jesus. The higher calling of God in Christ Jesus. That is your actual calling. Whatever else you become is a vehicle. Never look at that one as your main calling. That one is a vehicle. Everybody seated here, everybody that will ever hear this message, there is a call of God on the life according to his purpose. According to his purpose. His own purpose. his own purpose. Maybe you say, who plays the interest in you to want to become an economist? It's God, isn't it? Come on, answer me. It's God. Who placed in you the interest to become a computer scientist? It's God, isn't it? Very good. Now, all those interests are wonderful. But you see, those interests bring you in contact with men. But understand that he has a purpose that is his purpose that he wants to fulfill. And the earlier you recognize your part in it, the better. Because you can live life, you can live 80 years and never paid attention to that one. But all other things were your concern, except the call. The call. So what is this his purpose, his own purpose that he wants to accomplish? Huh? Because this is your desire to become an economist. Somebody who is an atheist has the same desire. So you cannot tell me that becoming an economist is what is according to his own purpose and grace. Are you following what I'm trying to say? So you cannot define God's purpose by the desires that men have. Come on. Because these desires that you think you have to be in a particular trade or a particular business, somebody who doesn't know Christ also had that same desire. So what is his own purpose and grace? And for your information, you must fulfill your part. If you don't fulfill your part, God won't lose. You will lose. So it's a fight. I'm glad I answered the call of God. And I've been fighting ever since. The number of things that have tried to take me out of the call of God, plenty. But I have fought to maintain my focus. It's a fight. Every giving face and the battles that come. Some of the fights, they come, the battles come to want to discourage you to stop. You have to win. Some of them come, even it can come in the form of comfort. Now you are so comfortable now that you think, So now by the time you realize, pastor has to preach. And whilst he's preaching, he may be a lock or pot. You see, you know, is there anything wrong doing business? No. But you see, you will be surprised. It can come as a fight against your real call. And you can abandon your call. There are some people who are genuinely called of God to answer full-time ministry. They are sitting in the bank. I'm telling you. They are in the bank because when they look at the temptation of poverty, how they may be poor, they say, no. No. And some of them, they cannot stand the pressure from their parents because your parents cannot accept the fact that they took you to school and you say you must work for God. You see, it may not be everybody, but there are people, they know that, Kaish, there's this call on my life. But many fights. And amazingly, some people, they know it, but because of the battles, they don't answer. And it's not everybody that gets the second chance. Some people, it calls once, he doesn't call again. But you may not be at that point yet. Some of you may be in the few years to come. Whether you respond or you don't respond. If you are on the list, when the time gets there, you will be shocked. He will come calling. JK, you must answer. Say, no, no, now the way I'm going, the way you are going. Do you know where Moses was trained? Moses was trained in a rich palace. Do you know why God didn't train Moses in a poor home? When you are trained in a poor home, there's a mindset you have. And when you are trained in a rich home, there's a mindset you have. God wanted to give Moses a rich mindset and give him a certain training. Why? Because the background of his call, he needs to come back to that palace to be able to defeat that palace. So he needed to know what is in the palace to defeat. That was the background to his call. So when he was brought there, he was given all the things and he knew whatever is there. Then he knew the powers that were there, that it would take a higher power to defeat this power. And now when God was ready to train him in another way, he picked him out and took him to the backside of the desert and trained him to be a shepherd. Because now he must come to defeat a superpower, but may have to lead the people as a shepherd. So he needed both trainings. So currently, you are in the band because you may need that training, you see. And now you see you are in church and all the time Pastor Christian is teaching you this. And he says the vision is that you will become a good and effective shepherd of. So you see, both is happening until the right time. And when he calls you, you cannot run away. You cannot run away. You may be running away now, but you can't run forever. Now, tonight, I'm just still drawing your attention to the fact that you are called. And you must fight to respond to the call. You must respond. All these church things we are doing, you are responding to the call. You see, unknowingly, you are responding to the call. That's why when people start playing with the things they must do in church, it's a lack of understanding that make people do that, because they don't know that special call on their lives. God sets you up for that call, for you to respond to that call. He sets you up. So if you start playing with what is given to you by God to do, that means you really don't understand the fact that he has programmed everything so that you can be in his will to fulfill his purpose. Look at someone say the background of your call, the background. Maybe I must really, let me say it in a way for you to understand it more. Everybody seated here, everything that is happening to you, right from the beginning till now, it's all part of the background of the special calling God has for you. Let me start. Let me pick some few people and explain some things to you. Let me start with my wife. Please sit down, mommy. You see, God called me right from the beginning of the world. His call was upon my life. Now, I would need a helper to fulfill that call. So my parents are in a particular church. Listen, whilst my parents are in that church, automatically I'm there. But her mother is also in a different church. But she herself didn't know what caused her to be moved to come to the church that I was there. The calling. You will be surprised. Then she came to that church and stayed in that church whilst the mother was in a different place. And the age, the time she wanted to come to that church and she was allowed, you may think, what is the connection? If she had not come there, I wouldn't have met her. Says, oh no, it's a coincidence. You don't understand the calling. You don't understand. You don't understand. The whole of Ghana, my parents could have gone to buy a land anywhere. They told me that somebody offered them a land at Tech, Ayediasi, very close to Tech Gate. They said it's too far. Then they went to Esha. I'm trying to explain something to you. That even this relationship we have is according to his own purpose and grace. He has orchestrated because of the calling. I don't say this to say, I'll say it. You see, there are certain people, they will never become what they were made to be because they have disconnected from me. The calling, you are wired to. I'll get there. I'm just painting a picture for you to see. So I got married to my wife. My parents went to build in Esha. Where they went to build, I happened to one day start a ministry at that place. Let me mention somebody like Elder David. Elder David's parents also built in Esha. You think it is just parents looking for a place to build? Before the world began, you see now I'm doing ministry in Kumasi, right? And I'm striving to do ministry in Kumasi. The days that I was doing ministry in Esha has passed long time. So you see, just imagine those seasons, if I was not there, a lot of you I wouldn't have met. What caused you to come to that place at that time? What orchestrated your path to come and meet me? You see, all of this is because there's a calling to be fulfilled. I think what I'm saying is, it doesn't make sense, isn't it? You think you couldn't have gone to Legon?
I mean, that was
you could have gone to Legon. Even the schools you went to, there is not, when one is called, there is nothing that is a coincidence. You will be surprised where you are to. You went to Chinubu Akodia. The whole reason for going to Chinubu Akodia was because of the calling. Because you needed to meet somebody who would bring you to meet the person that you are supposed to be connected to for your calling to be fulfilled. Everybody is connected to somebody because of the calling. Anyway, you will appreciate it later.
A calling.
Why? Because a calling is a summon. You are being summoned. I'm still trying to explain to you that you are not a biological mistake. And the things that have happened in your life so far, there's a calling on your life. Let's read a scripture in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 to 12. Very long scripture. When my parents gave birth to me, they thought that they were just naming me after a priest. They didn't know that everything that they were being moved to do, no. A calling had to be answered. Are you? If you view my relationship with you and your relationship with me based on his purpose and his grace, you won't play games with this relationship because you know that this exists for his purpose in your life to be fulfilled. For you to fulfill your call. Huh? Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. Please pay attention to this scripture. Pay attention. It's 12 verses. No, two verse 12 is 9, eh?
Yes.
So let's read it. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who had blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. When did he choose you? When did he choose you? Please, verse. When did he choose you? Have you seen how old you are? Go, verse 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the pleasure of his will. The pleasure of his will. Let me tell you, God's pleasure will be fulfilled. It is you whose life will be frustrated if you choose to forsake him. As for him, you lie bad. But the sad part is that if you choose not to answer, somebody else will do yours on top of his or hers. And what had to come to you will go to them. Are you following it? Okay. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he had made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he had abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Verse 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of what? Lift up your twin. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, make known unto me the mystery of your will concerning my life. God bless you. It's a good prayer you must be praying. According to his good pleasure, which he had purposed in himself. Eh? Follow. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ. So I'm asking you a simple question. If God's purpose in the fullness of time is to gather all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, then what is your assignment in this purpose? To help him in the world. So, his purpose is that you fight for the CD to appreciate and dollar to come down. So, kindly answer this question for me. How does your counting of money in the bank help in gathering all things in Christ? You see? Everybody bring your career on board.
Oh, bring it on. Bring it on.
So, whatever we are doing are vehicles that must help us in fulfilling the true calling of God upon our lives. So, see, many are called, but few respond. You must respond to this call. And that is why church exists. Listen to me. Church doesn't exist to find a wife for people or husbands for people. That is just a byproduct. Church doesn't exist so that people are encouraged to do good business. That is a byproduct. Why does church exist? To help fulfill his purpose. And what is his purpose? He wants to, in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he wants to gather in one all things in Christ, both which are where and which are on, even in him. So, your time on earth is not supposed to be focused on just building things on earth, but to fulfill this purpose of gathering all things into Christ. Okay? And when we say all things, the crowning of all things is man. And therefore, our calling is to men. I hope you are getting the point. Our calling is to what? Men. Our calling is to men. So irrespective of what you do and the things you are involved in, remember that is not our main calling. Our main calling is to be involved in gathering all things, okay, into Christ. Does it make sense? Verse 11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. So, everything that is in your life, he has an agenda. He is working it according to his own will. I pray a day is coming. I would have been able to make you a pastor of a church. A shepherd of people.
Amen.
You see, I've been trying to do that for many, many years. But the fact is that some of you are too engraved in the things that you want to accomplish in this world. When even I talk shepherding, the moment I say you are called, when I say you are called for ministry, I never think that when we say you are called for ministry, we are then saying that you are supposed to stop whatever you are doing and come and do full-time ministry. That is not what ministry is. You can still be an accountant, but you are fulfilling your ministry. Are you following what I am saying?
Yes.
You are a fashion designer, but you are fulfilling your ministry. You are an economist, but you are fulfilling, and your ministry is not bringing that up. Your ministry is ensuring that all are gathered together into Christ. Does it make sense? Hallelujah. All right. Obadiah chapter 1 verse 21. I said we're reading till verse 12, right? Let's read the verse 12. That we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. So you see, now we have trusted in Christ, and this has brought us to be part of the assignment. We have an assignment, and the assignment is to ensure that all are gathered into him. Obadiah 1:21. I'm called. And saviors, say saviors. Saviors shall come up on Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. Now, this is prophetic. Jesus was the savior of the world, but he says saviors shall come up on Mount Zion. That means in the last days, all those that will be involved in this assignment of getting men saved and coming to the knowledge of the truth will all be known as saviors. Have you accepted your calling as a savior yet? Many, many, many people are waiting for us who must be gathered into Christ. And that is our assignment. Listen, the desires of this world will fight you. And sometimes you even feel ashamed that you must be involved in the ministry and talk to people about Jesus. But listen, this call, you cannot run away from. Later in the years or in the days when we are discussing deeper things about your call, you realize that when we get before Jesus, and I hope you believe you'll be in front of Jesus one day, or you don't believe, you will be shocked. The dollar won't be there. CD won't be there. Pounds won't be there. What will be there is what you did for him. And that is why I will keep bringing this to your mind. You are called. There's a calling on your life. Answer to that call. our being in church is not an end in itself. It's to prepare us to fulfill that call. So take things serious. Take your place serious. Take what you are doing for him serious. Because in that, you are helping to make sure that all come back into Christ. The ministry of reconciliation is our assignment. I'll round up today here. Come up. Be matured. Be like Moses. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, let's read from verse 23, Hebrews 11, 23 and 24. Let's read about Moses. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Verse 24, by faith, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Look at the prominence he had risen to. He decided he won't allow that to stop him from fulfilling his call. Verse 25. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. You see, he made a choice. There are many things that will fight your calling, will fight your being committed to the cause of Christ. Fight back and win this battle. When things are set and we say, let's do this, we are doing this for Christ, we are doing this for Christ, we are doing this, get involved. Don't let anything defeat you. Because you can easily allow things to defeat you and say, I won't be involved. And when you are not involved, you think the purpose of God won't be fulfilled. It will be fulfilled. Just that you will lose your part. You will do what? You will lose your part. And when you lose your part, you have lost your rewards. I pray that none of us will lose our reward. He says, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. There's a reward waiting for all of us. Let's take our calling serious. Let's take our calling serious. And may no other person do what you were supposed to do and take your crown. May you be conscious that you are called and you embrace your call. God bless you for joining in today's broadcast. If you want to give your heart to Christ, I want you to make this confession heartily after me. Say, dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for your word. I believe in my heart that you died on the cross, and on the third day you were raised back to life, and you are alive. I confess your lordship over my life. From this day, my name is kept in the book of life. Thank you for saving me, even in Jesus' name. Amen. If you said this confession, you're a child of God, and I want you to find a Bible believing church and be planted in it. Or you can join us in the Shepherd Stream Church and you will grow to become a great tree of righteousness that will bear fruit to the glory of God. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with my Pastor Christian. We believe you've been refreshed by The Shepherd's Stream for a glorious living in Christ Jesus. You can get the messages of the man of God, Pastor Christian, on Telegram, Facebook, YouTube, podcast or podcast addict, all at My Pastor Christian or Shepherd Stream Church. For further inquiries, prayer or pastoral counseling, messages and the books of Pastor Christian, please call our helpline on +233 540 953 015 or +233 558 863 287. Or visit our international office at Edum, opposite the GRA office, Kumasi. We also have the pleasure to invite you to join us in our glorious celebration services this and every Sunday at the Fresh Oil Assembly Kumasi City Church, KCC, in the Senate Conference Room, Edum, on the Hyper Road, from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. You can also join in our services via YouTube Live at Pastor Godfrey Christian Apiafe. Come, pray, be seated, and experience the glory of God. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.